Good morning, sir. If you can just hold one moment while we're waiting. What is your name, sir?
Akhil Furlani.
Mr. Furlani, who's going to run his name?
Second, sir.
The Honorable Mr. Blazem.
What's the name?
Furlani.
F-U-L-L-A-N-G-I.
Furlani.
Anybody here? This is a revocation.
Yeah, Furlani. Revocation.
Somebody should have it. No one has it?
What's his name?
Furlani.
That's mine.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Neal will conduct your hearing, sir, so just hold on, and he'll be with you very shortly, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning. Would you state your full name and ADC number for the record, please?
Akhil Furlani, 243355.
Thank you, sir. Your third for the Honorable Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to your community supervision application. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. In middle is Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, and all the way to your right is the Honorable Woody Canones. Also in the room today, we have Mr. Rusty from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
I believe I do.
Okay, it's the one that told you when the date was. It also gave you some information about your rights at the hearing. Okay, sir.
Actually, I don't think I received that one.
Let's see here.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, actually, I do remember. I remember now.
Okay, yeah, you signed it on the 20th of December. Okay,
yeah.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf. Or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'll be representing myself.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to swear to you and Mr. Westby in. So you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Okay, sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. Phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So phase one, what I'm going to do is I am going to read the one allegation that's on your warrant. I'm going to ask you if it's true, false, or if you wish to plead the fifth after I read it. The reason I give you the opportunity to plead the Fifth Amendment is we show a police report number on your warrant, so there may be pending charges. This hearing is recorded as public information, so anything you would say today could be used against you in a court of law in a prosecution. So we give you that opportunity, okay? Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, you've got one allegation. It's allegation number one, the violation of the Arizona Conditional Supervision number five, as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior on or about May 1st, 2018 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Is that true, false, or do you wish to plead the fifth, sir?
I have to say that is false.
It's false. Okay. So because you say it's false, we're going to go to Mr. Westby, and he is going to read the full allegation to us. Mr. Westby.
On May 30th, 2018, Peter Palmer received a phone call from the ACP gang unit. Detective Segura, number 20131, regarding offender Fulilangi, Aki 243355. Detective Saavedra provided Peter Palmer with case number 2018-1220097. On May 2nd, 2018, the Mesa PD gang unit was dispatched to a threat report of 1106 North Winthrop Circle, Mesa, Arizona, 85213. He met with Pual Latula, She stated her husband, Tusi Latua, and her were in front of their home when an unknown tan colored sedan drove up to the residence at May 1st, 2018, approximately 2,000 hours. Mrs. Latua said the two Pacific Islander males got out of the vehicle and began to threaten Mr. Latua to fight. The smaller of the two individuals took off his shirt, where he revealed the tattoo regulators across his chest, and shouted, quote, "Why are you fucking with regulators?" end quote. End quote. Why are you disrespecting the regulators? End quote. Mrs. Latua said that she was aware that the name was Tongan Gang Base out of West Valley City in Utah. She said that both she and her husband both had relatives in West Valley City, and a cousin was part of that gang. Mrs. Latua said that her husband was a former Arizona Cardinals football player and did a lot of posting on social media. She said that he made a joke regarding the regulators on social media, which may have triggered the two individuals to make contact at their home. At that time, she could not identify the two individuals, but definitely saw the tattoo. Mrs. Latua said they only tried to get Mr. Latua to fight with them, and she got in the middle and de-escalated the situation. Since Mr. Latua did not want to fight, the offender told him, quote, "Don't put regulators in your mouth. I'm Aki Fuliangi. Don't forget my name," end quote. At that time, the offender got in his vehicle and left. Later on, Mrs. Latua said she saw a Facebook Live video post that recorded an incident for the two individuals, but the video was dark and had muffled voices. On May 30th, 2018, Detective Kalama 20542, Detective Evans 10505, went to Latua's residence with a photographic lineup. Mrs. Latua pointed out picture number 5. She said that the individual's name was Aki Fuliangi. At the time, she also pointed to the second individual that was Aki Fuliangi. Picture number 2 was identified as Kavita Kaloa Matangi. Mr. Latua was given a photographic lineup. He also pointed out picture number 5 was Aki Fuliangi, and number 2 was Kavita Kaloa Matangi. On May 30th, 2018, Peel Palmer was advised by Detectives Saavedra that the offender's residence was under surveillance. On June 13th, 2018, the offender was arrested by Mesa PD gang unit at Mesa Regional Parole Office. He was later transported to MCSO, where he was booked on one felony count of threatening and intimidating as a gang member. Charges are pending. And I do have steps to charges that I received Wednesday, December 26, 2018 by Unit Supervisor Smith from Mesa Regional Parole, stating from Maricopa County Superior Court on November 28, 2018, the defender pled guilty to one felony count of threatening or intimidating.
So do you know where that changed his end date?
Pardon me?
Do you know whether that...
His community supervision ending is June 10th, 2019. I don't have a disposition on there of what.
Okay, so that's what I was asking, is if that changed that ending. So we don't know one way or the other.
No, we do not. I don't see any information showing on it other than assess the DOC time.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, sir. What part of that is false?
Well, I said it's false because the whole thing about that is that it was never intentionally like to cause harm or nothing, because me and that dude Latua, it all started off as it was just pranks, like we're pranking, joking each other.
Okay, well, wait a minute, sir. Phase two, you can explain it in depth. So you're just saying the whole thing is false, even though you pled guilty to it.
Yes, the whole thing is false. It was never like me personally.
Okay.
I'm not an active gang member
sir, I'm going to move this forward to phase two, and then we'll have more of an opportunity to explain it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So based on the information, 1218W1850, specifically allegation number 1, as read by Mr. Westby, I'm going to find that Mr. Fuliangi was delinquent and that he violated conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Seconded by Mr. Canonis. Agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, sir, we're in phase two now, but before we actually start, Mr. Westby is going to give us a little bit of background information, so stay on the phone, I'll get right back with you. Mr. Westby.
On January 10th, 2018, Mr. Fulalagi was released from Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested June 13th, 2018 by Mesa PD on new felony charges of assisting a criminal street gang and threatening and intimidating by a gang member. He was back in DOC custody on November 29th, 2018 with a projected community supervision end date of June 10th, 2019, 0 stand days. Current conviction, June 2013, party prison contraband, 1.5 years. He has prior convictions in 2009 for theft of means of transportation, 2.5 years. 2009, armed robbery, 5 years. 2009, aggravated robbery, 9 years. This is his first term in DOC, CUIR score 4.4, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 1. STG gang information notes, he's a member of the Regulators Criminal Street Gang. He has no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate, with drugs, lying, and disorderly conduct noted. He does have disciplinary that he received, but that was prior to his release, disregard. His community risk score is a G5B6.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Fulani, we're going to go over a case supervision summary. So, January of 2018, you were approved to reside at 7115 South Extension Road, number 19 in Mesa, Arizona. Was that with a friend or family or something, sir?
That was with my brother and his wife.
Your brother? Okay. And you stayed there the whole time?
Yes.
Okay, so employment. Let's see, Neighbors, located at 230 East Elliott in Tempe. What were you doing at Neighbors, sir?
I was a cook over there, and I was making sandwiches, and I was pretty much just clean, doing everything over there.
Okay, so you worked in the kitchen?
Yes.
I've never been to the one on that side of town, but I've been to the Neighbors by my house. It's not a bad place. June 13th, which was about all the time, especially when this is all happening, you reported that you're no longer working there. Is that why you weren't working there? Because you got arrested and...
No, I actually stopped working there, Sergeant. I was beginning another job.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good that you were working and trying to, you know, maintain employment while you're out there. So you were referred to task for random drug testing, and it shows that you were responsible for 5 drops and that you were negative all the time. That's pretty good. So you don't have any problems with drugs or alcohol?
No.
That's very, very commendable, sir. So, you say that all this, all these allegations are all false. You didn't intend to hurt him or anything, but why would you engage in that kind of activity when you're out on the community supervision and you know that that kind of activity gets put back in jail?
Well, because I didn't think that it was going to get so far as to where they were going to call the police, and because just the way that us personally, the way that we play and joke around may perceive to others as like we're about to fight or it's going to get out of control, and really it was just pranks, jokes that just got blown out of proportion. And the only reason why I was Why that happened was because, like I said, I didn't think that the cops were going to get called or get involved or all this was going to happen.
Okay. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions this time. Mr. Johnson.
So I just had one question. Did you plead guilty to this, right?
Yeah, I pled guilty. Well, the reason why I pled guilty was because I was scared of what could happen to me, because no matter what I said, even also the victims, they wrote a statement to the state and prosecutors, they saying the same thing that I'm telling you guys, that it was all just a misunderstanding that got blown out of proportion, but they weren't listening to the victims either. They were still going to push it as far as they can go. So I didn't want to take it that far, so I just pled guilty because I don't want to be in prison. I don't want to do no time. I got my family, I got a son at home. I was out there doing good, and then I just happened to get into this mess right here. So me and my lady, my wife, we talked about it, and the best thing we could come up with was to plead guilty, because both of us, we didn't want to take that risk of going to trial or even getting more time. So for me, I had no choice but to plead guilty.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any other questions? I have one other question, sir. When you pled guilty to that, what kind of sentence did they give you?
They gave me 2 years supervised probation.
Okay. And that's to start when you're done with this?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. We're going to be doing a discussion to make determinations shortly, but before we do, I give you an opportunity to make a final statement if you desire. Tell us anything else you think might be pertinent to our decision. We just ask that you don't cover the same information that we've already talked about, okay?
Okay. I just wanted to let you guys know that although, you know, I'm in here and I'm violated and I pled guilty to another charge, that I'm not a threat to society. I'm not a threat to nobody. I'm not out there looking for trouble. I was out there doing good. I was working. I was drug-free, alcohol-free, and I was doing everything my parole officer asked me to do. I was doing everything that was asked of me on parole, and even just this time, these few months that I've been incarcerated right now, it's been a real wake-up for me, especially since I've been in prison and then I got out to my family, and now that I'm back, it's a real wake up to me. To now I know what I need to do out there and what not to do, and if you guys release me and give me another chance, I guarantee you it'll be better, and I'll do better, and I'll contribute to society and do what I gotta do, and you'll never hear nothing bad from me ever again. And I ask that you guys please just take my family into consideration and give me another chance, and that's it, and I thank you guys for your guys' time.
Thank you, sir. We're going to be going into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be, but we're asking you to stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll get back to you in a couple minutes, okay?
Okay.
Board is now in discussion. Mr. Fugliani sounds like he may have learned something from this, but with the totality of what's there, the type of crime that he was in jail for in the first place, armed robbery, aggravated robbery, and then gets in trouble while he's in prison with contraband. I just have a problem with being out about 6 months and he's getting involved, even if it's indirectly, with gangs. Surveilled by gang units and everything else has increased me. He's actively participating, but I don't see at this time that Mr. Fugliani is a good candidate for return to community supervision. But I'm going to listen to discussion from my fellow board members if there is any. Okay, so based on all the information, 201-8W1850, Mr. Fulanger's testimony and information from Department of Corrections. I'm going to need to revoke those community supervision of Mr. Fulanger as he was delinquent, violated terms of discipline of supervision and not allowed to lapse in good ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
Agree. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Camillus, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson, Ms. Rittenhouse. All right, sir, the board is going to revoke your community supervision. If there's anything we have, based on all the information we have, you should be released on June 10th of 2019. That's in about 5 months away. We suggest that you make yourself a really good plan so that when you get out, you can avoid that gang activity because they're going to be watching you real close. So if you associate with a gang, you're going to be in more trouble. So anyway, this is what you're hearing, sir. We wish the best of luck, and please put those CO3 or Vinectin on the phone.
Thank you.